You are listening to the Intentional Talk Radio Network. It is a hump day, and we're getting ready for Helena J. Connolly with Smart Money Moves. So come on back, folks, at the top of the hour, and we're just about there. Get ready. Get your writing utensils, your pad. Get everything ready. You'll want to be a part of this. It's time for Smart Money Moves with Helena J. Connolly.
Hello, 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 everyone. It is hump day, and I am excited to be here with you. I have some amazing guests, which I am so excited for you all to hear from today. But I must start my show, as always, with our sponsorship. Today's show is sponsored by GWG Construction Incorporated. Jannard Gilmore, he has 40 years plus experience in the construction industry, and he is the CEO and owner. He's licensed and bonded and works out of the Ventura, the Riverside, the Orange, and the Los Angeles County areas. His work is quick, quality, full of integrity and craftsmanship, and I can attest to this because he has redone my entire home over the last 10 years. So I know the work is amazing. So make sure you guys reach out to him for all of your construction needs. He and his team will take care of you. They can be reached at 323-600-1122. Again, that is 323-600-1122. That is GWG Construction, Inc. All right, gentlemen, I am so excited to introduce you to my audience with Smart Money Moves here with Helena. I am learning about what it is that you guys are doing and have been doing forever, but I want to make sure we get a chance to introduce you to our audience. Now, a little bit about this for those of you guys who are listening in for the first time. Smart Money Moves with Helena was created to make sure that we as a people can learn a lot of different ways to utilize money so that we're able to accumulate it, make it grow, do what it needs to do so that we can have multiple streams of income throughout our lifetime, not just right now, but in our retirement years as well. And we've spoken several times about the fact that if we don't do something different with our money, we will have a trajectory that heads to us having a zero net worth by 2053. So something has to be done. And at the beginning of the year, I gave you guys my 10 smart money moves for 2022. One of those, which we spent a lot of time out speaking about throughout the year, was about renewing and reviewing your investment portfolio. And after meeting with these two gentlemen, Mr. Aiden Sorrell and Brent Boyce, I found out that there was a whole avenue of investing that I had no clue even existed. I'd heard little bits and pieces just about real estate, of course, in general. But as far as being able to utilize, and I'll let them explain it because I don't want to butcher the topic, but I'm going to give you my basic understanding and they will feel free to correct me. But they are the co-owners of Seneca Village Capital, and you can find them online at SENVCAP. That's SENVCAP.com. Find out all about them and their business. I learned that there is a way for us to utilize market funds that are managed by professionals in order to receive a return on our investment based on you guys being able to loan out money to people who need to purchase mortgages. So I'll stop right there. I'll introduce the two gentlemen. Aiden Sorrell is a 3+ generation operator and owner in the real estate industry and has been forever. Mr. Brent Boyce is a former executive from Wall Street. So together, these two gentlemen brought their expertise in finance and in real estate to bring you Seneca Village Capital. And I am excited to bring them both in. So whoever like to jump in and start, I'd appreciate introducing Aiden Sorrell and Brent Boyce to the audience.
Sure. Hi, audience. How you doing? I'm Brent Boyce. As Helena said, I've worked on Wall Street for 15 plus years. I've always worked in some form of risk management in financial services. I went to Morehouse undergrad. I have a Wharton MBA, and we started Seneca Village about 3 years ago. I'm very excited about the trajectory that we're on. I'll keep it light.
I love it. I'll take that, Brent. And Aiden, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into this.
Yeah, we'll do it. And first off, I just want to thank you. The show concept, the content is amazing.
I love it.
I wish there was more of it. I really appreciate you putting this together and inviting us on.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. So, hello everybody. My name is Aiden Sorrell. As mentioned, I'm a third generation owner operator in a real estate company based in Harlem, New York. My grandmother and her sisters immigrated from Guyana in the late 1920s. And I've grown up, you know, literally learning and, excelling off of all of their teachings and, you know, their experience in the real estate game. So we're a full service company where we own and operate our own real estate portfolio. We do third party management for clients. So anything from a single family building up to 80 to 100 unit condos, my company will manage. And we're also brokers. So we will rent and sell both residential and commercial housing.
Okay. So you guys are invested in real estate all around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I was walking through buildings and basements when I was a little kid and doing stuff I probably shouldn't have been doing. So I definitely grew up in the game.
I love it. I love it. And we talk a lot. We've had, I think, two, maybe three of our shows this year dedicated to home ownership and understanding how to use real estate in the, you know, frame of appreciation of its value or, you know, purchasing it, fixing and flipping is a term that we spoke about and, you know, how people can qualify for that and credit. That's what we spoke about so far. Now, where you guys come from is a different angle on real estate. So tell us, how does Seneca Village Capital work? What is it that we're able to do, generate money? Just jump into it.
Sure, I'll start off. We're a private lender. So you touched on fix and flipping, or what I always like to tell people is when you watch HDTV, you see these shows where they buy a home, they have a private investor or something that we're the money guys behind that. So if somebody finds an opportunity that under the of a good fix and flip, you know, they might not have all the capital necessary to do the renovations themselves that with their own with the capital they have, mm-hmm. So they'll go to a lender. And there's a whole industry for this called you know, private money lending, where we would help finance fix and flips, we would help finance purchases and investments where we can create value in the asset and the underlying property. So literally what we do is we'll partner with the person that who's going to do what you would see on HGTV, work with them, finance all the costs that go into fixing up a property and, you know, helping them exit on the other side.
So it's funny that you mentioned HGTV because I should have stock in HGTV because I pretty much know every single show that's on it. I think I'm a real estate investor because I watch everything. Property Brothers have a net worth of $200 million. Mm-hmm. And my mom, who doesn't even know anything about this stuff, that's like her favorite people. She's always saying Property Brothers, right?
Yeah.
So the fix and flip game is a big game, right? As far as being able to earn money. You know, just a quick recap. You purchase property, you fix it up, and then you put it back on the market for a profit of more than you purchased it and spent in renovations. And that's where the returns comes from in a fix and flip. But you're telling me that people who are purchasing these properties don't necessarily have enough capital themselves to do all of the flipping. So you guys, as private lenders, are able to do what with that? You have them purchase a loan from you? Is that like a hard money loan or what is that?
Aiden, do you want to trade off or?
Yeah, sure. I'll answer. So the short answer is yes. That's what we do. Okay. We provide capital for those who aren't able to use their own cash. And the reason we exist is because after 2008, the bank system kind of split. And if it's a non-owner occupied dwelling, they are not typically lent money from traditional banks. So Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they don't necessarily do this type of lending. So our industry was formed to solve for that problem. So they'll come to us.
Because they're fixed and flipped, they're not going to be in the home. So that's correct. What you mean by non-owned. Okay, got it.
Correct. So what a borrower would most likely do is either use their own cash or work with lenders like us. And the way we interact is we will not only lend for the purchase, but we'll also lend for the rehab. And we have to underwrite and we have to make it make sense on our side, but ultimately they're able to use someone else's capital to fund their whole project.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was going to ask, is there an underwriting process similar to being in the typical mortgage world? And you're saying that there is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with any investment, you need to assess the risk and understand the downside and try to protect yourself against that.
Okay.
One of the reasons I even got into this space is I tend to be pretty risk averse.
Okay.
I like the idea of hard assets, physical, tangible assets that kind of have a where it's easy to assess the value. At a worst case scenario or in a base case, you know, we're probably going to lend on a certain percentage of what the property is worth as is. So that's kind of our floor. So it makes me feel comfortable at night knowing that, you know, there's a hard asset behind the loan.
Okay. And so with Seneca Village, which is you guys' company, being that you are a direct lender, how much capital does it take to, you know, or do you guys have to be able to invest? And how long have you guys been doing what it is that you do? Because I know you've been in the industry forever, but as far as Seneca Village Capital.
Yeah, I think I'll tell our creation story a little bit. So when I was still on Wall Street, really started trying to figure out my off-ramp. I didn't want to do that forever.
Okay.
And I started looking at, you know, ways of raising more capital so that I can become independent, financially independent, so I wouldn't need the job that I had and maintain a certain lifestyle. So started to look at different investment opportunities. I really like the idea of passive income. That's things that pay periodically on a cadence. So, you know, a monthly check, something like an interest payment for me.
Okay.
I'm risk averse. So something that is tangible, like a hard asset, like real estate, made sense. So I started to do private loans and started at a very, very small scale. I've done loans as small as $15,000. We had some good investments with the loans that we did. So I invested a little more, did a couple more loans. And this
okay,
is about.
So I gotta pause you there. So you
sure.
took your capital,
yeah.
right? Because you realized you were working toward an exit strategy at
mm-hmm.
a, you know, job that love the jobs, love our W-2s, but most of us are looking for an exit strategy
right.
from a W-2, right? So
right.
you decided to start saving your capital and
right.
then being able to utilize your own capital to create these loans for people that paid you back in return.
Right. I mean,
okay.
And I think we'll get into this, but there's all types of investment opportunities. I've tried my hand at the stock market. I'm not very good at that,
uh-huh.
but, you know, but understanding real estate, understanding these fix and flip projects is pretty straightforward for me. It's
mm-hmm.
not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I took some of the wealth I had accumulated, started giving the loans. That lending was successful, started lending out more, got to the point where I lent out pretty much all of the money I had saved up. So I reached out to some friends, some family, and said, hey, I've been doing some lending. We've been getting pretty good returns on it. It's solid passive income stream. Why don't we check this out? One of my closest friends, Aiden, has been in real estate his entire life. I brought this to him, and you know, that was about 3 years ago, and we haven't really looked back.
Okay. So you did some research for all of those out there looking for an escape. You did some research. You had some experience. You tried it yourself. Realized that working with fixing and flipping and being the lender of that non-traditional loaning of money, that there was a return in it for you. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you and Aiden make the connection. Now with that experience, we do what? 3 years. You just saved up more money. You got more investors to work with you.
So I'll jump in. So the next stage was I ran out of money.
Okay.
and the reason I ran out of money is because it worked. Candidly speaking, Brent asked me, did I want to do it? And I said, no, but you're my boy, so I'll support you. And, you know, a few deals in, it really started to click. And this is a different side of the business than I've ever been on.
Okay.
One that I understood, but had never really thought about from an investment return standpoint.
Okay.
So once I got to a point where I was very happy, we realized we could probably pause, continue to just lend what we have, or we can look to make a bigger opportunity, not only to make bigger returns, but to have bigger impact to who our borrowers are.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of a financial component and a little bit of a social responsibility component that we married, and we decided, hey, let's just do something bigger. And that's how Seneca Village Capital was born.
Yeah.
So Seneca Village has some meaning behind it itself in New York, right? Tell us a little bit about that before we jump into the how do you invest with you.
Yeah. So I'll take this one. So Seneca Village was one of the first African-American neighborhoods established in Manhattan. A long, long time ago, uptown Manhattan was considered the suburbs of New York, and the urban area was down on Wall Street. So, you know, the African-American and the Irish immigrants, they couldn't afford downtown real estate. They created their own village, uptown Manhattan. Unfortunately, that neighborhood was eventually seized for eminent domain. Mm-hmm. It's now the northwest quadrant of Central Park.
Oh, okay.
And there's a plaque paying tribute to the town. But, you know, there's essentially sprawl from there. That's how you ended up getting neighborhoods like Harlem and the Bronx and whatnot. So our namesake is really just a shout out and a paying homage to that first African-American settlement in New York. It's a not so quiet dog whistle about where we're focusing our efforts. And, you know, just paying homage, like in today's world, you don't need a physical location. You can build a village virtually. And, you know, that's part of our mission.
Awesome. So are you guys focused all only in New York, or do you do your business outside of New York?
So that is a good question. And I think it starts to marry and reinforce who we are as contributors to this business. Where we lend is typically about where we feel comfortable spending our capital. So there's a ton of opportunity, but we have to be pointed and we have to be disciplined, because at the end of the day, we're invested too as individuals, mm-hmm. and we don't want to lose our money.
So you started with your capital. Let me confirm that. Seneca Village Capital started with your own capital in this whole project that you're lending. So you are definitely, you know, do it first people when it comes to the investment side of what you do. Okay.
That is correct. And there's a lot of fear that comes with putting your own money out in the world and hoping that it comes back and trusting that it comes back. Mm-hmm. So in using that lens, we started with a very specific model. And that model was, if I'm a real estate owner and operator, would I do that deal? So I would underwrite it and look at the opportunity and say, hey, this does look like it makes some sense. Mm-hmm. So now we can even go to the second stage. And that second stage is using Brent's brain and his eyes and his Wall Street understanding of leverage and say, hey, would this deal make sense? Can we actually get a positive return? And do we feel comfortable with all of the underwriting standards that we apply? When those two things would come together, then we would agree, okay, let's move forward and lend on this opportunity. But as a secondary measure of security and comfort, we only want to lend in communities and neighborhoods where we feel comfortable with the real estate. So we started out with a simple mission. It's only a place where either I have done real estate investments and I have successfully returned capital, or Brent has done real estate investments and successfully returned capital.
Okay.
And then as a second layer, as we got a little more established and we found proprietors and rehabbers that we trusted, then we were willing to also lend in their neighborhoods or their marketplaces, because we also felt comfortable because we had another advisor or a third party that can also confirm, hey, this is a good opportunity. So all the while, we're trying to be as conservative and as safe with the opportunities as possible so we can guarantee a positive outcome. So to answer your question, we are lending primarily in the Northeast. Okay. But we've extended our lending operations to Florida, to Chicago. And as we get more comfortable in each marketplace, we continue to expand. So I would think maybe Brent probably knows the numbers better, but about 60-70% of our opportunity is in the East Corridor from Florida to New York. The rest, you know, we're starting to expand.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to turn this a little bit because my introduction to you gentlemen was about the potential of investing with Seneca Village Capital and seeing a return myself, not being on the borrower side, but doing some investing to, if I understand it correctly, to increase the capital that Seneca Village Capital is able to loan out. So tell us how that portion of it works.
Sure. Similar to what we were talking about with when a fix and flipper is borrowing money, whenever you borrow money, there's a carrying cost, there's interest associated with it. So the nature of our fund, we collect interest payments. So if you invested into the fund, we would use that money to fund a loan and then use the interest and distribute the interest payments that come in so that you're getting a passive return on your money. So you were arbitrary numbers. Say you gave us, you know, $10,000, you'd be collecting, you know, income off that money. And it's still a dollar, it's mixed with our money so that it, in the sense that it's not specific to one particular project, but you're just investing in a pool of real estate. So it's just a nice way of also, you know, just diversifying your risk, kind of trying to put your money to work and essentially sprinkling it across multiple projects or multiple loans or a loan portfolio and earning that income.
So are you guys, would you be considered the fund managers of of this money?
Correct. Yes. So I don't want to get too technical. Sometimes my brain goes there, but it's a pool of money, which is a loan portfolio, which is the fund.
Okay.
And then there's also a fund manager, which directs which funds that pool of money invests in and whatnot. So we are the fund managers, even though we are ourselves invested in the fund itself as well as individuals.
Okay. So meaning that you guys choose the investments that you want to help fund.
Yes. Yeah, so that same underwriting criteria that Aiden talked about, we apply that as the manager.
Okay.
And then direct the fund to invest in it or not.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple key points. You mentioned passive income. How does that work as far as this? The $10,000, I give $10,000 to the fund, right? Which means I become an investor with you all. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So I give $10,000, $25,000, $100,000, whatever it is. So now I'm an investor with you. So I'm investing with you. How long do I have to leave my money with you? Is this for, you know, long term? Is this a 6 month thing? Because I know fix and flips usually are a 6 month thing, but that's on the other side of it. So on the investor side, how long am I expected to leave this money with you?
And I'll take this one if you don't mind.
Yeah,
go for it. So, I mean, each fund, there's broadly speaking for funds and there's specifically speaking for our fund. So broadly speaking, it varies based on the funds. Some funds may ask you to have your money locked up for as much as 5 years or longer.
Okay.
Our fund is actually, we only ask you to have your, to hold on to your money for a year. So basically, if you wanted to get your money back in with the, after a year, sure, we understand that. The reason why we're able to do that is because, similar to what you pointed out, fix and flips tend to be very quick turnarounds. So our loans have a very short duration. They have a very short life before they mature and they need to get repaid. And because of that, we can give people back their money if we need to. It also gives us an opportunity to recirculate the money. So, you know, although we kind of focus on the, I focus on the interest at the beginning, there's also something called like an origination fee or, you know, different fees associated with borrowing. For those of you, I see people nodding their head. So if you are investing in the fund and that fund is collecting fees plus the interest, now you got to collect the fees twice. So, you know, percentage wise, maybe as the investor, correct. So even though maybe your interest rate may be, let's just call it 10%, that 10%, whether it's 6 months or a year, is still 10% annualized.
Mm-hmm.
But those fees for each time you get to circulate the loan helps boost your return. And what makes it attractive is because we focus on short duration loans, those fees over the course of a year can be sizable and create quite an attractive return on the investment, even though it's still a very passive, secure investment.
So the quicker we get the money back from the borrowers, the more there's a chance to, like you said, recirculate it for more. So let's say, right, and I don't even know if this is information that you have readily available or you care to speak about, but what is the total funds under management right now? And is there a goal that you guys are getting to? Because I got listeners, and so people want to be able to get in on, you know, some potential. Are you cutting it off at some point in time for potential investors, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer the question. So big picture, we started humbly as ourselves.
Okay.
We launched as a fund Q1 of this year.
Okay.
So we're approaching 5 million of assets under management today.
Nice.
Our goal is to be at 50 by the end of the year. And calls like this. End of this year. That's right.
7 months left.
So wow. We've done a lot of outreach already.
Okay.
Raising capital is a slow game.
Okay.
You know, there's commitments and then there's capital calls and it takes a little bit of time, but we feel pretty confident that as we scale, we'll hit our targets.
Okay.
Two of the big reasons why those things are possible is because we're not just reaching individual investors like yourself and other people on this call. We're also interacting with family offices and institutional capital.
Okay.
And those checks are a lot bigger than individual investor checks.
Yes.
And part of the pause with our numbers is that you have to meet some minimum thresholds before larger checks can come in.
Okay.
And what we've learned is 5 million is the first threshold and we'll be there within the next 30 days.
Okay.
And then their check sizes begin to increase dramatically.
Okay. Based on what people will put into the fund once you're at that certain threshold. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. So is there a minimum that someone can choose to invest with you guys to be a part of the fund?
Yeah. So right now we're trying to, our minimum is $25,000.
Okay.
Although, you know, we appreciate anybody who's interested in investing. We're happy to have that conversation offline.
Okay.
But there's just a some administrative headache. I don't want to call them headaches. Work.
They're headaches.
Related to investing.
It can be. You've been doing this for a long time. It's headache.
Right. There's some administrative requirements just dealing with investors. So, to make it, it has to be a meaningful investment to make it worth it.
Awesome. So let me say this again. The website, SENVCAP.com. You guys are interested, make sure you join in. I always hear about first phase, second phase, you know, so forth and so on. And the fact that you guys have started this a few years ago, but have opened it up to investors in just a few months and are already at close to 5 million, there's a real opportunity here for sure. So let's say I invest 25,000 with you guys. Have any listeners out there, that's what they choose to do, investing 25,000. Is there a, I know we can't say guaranteed because it's a risk, it's an investment, but closest to guaranteed that I can say, amount of return that is expected annualized from their investment.
I want to be a little particular here just because as a private placement, we really can't speak to certain type of returns or promise any returns.
Got it.
But I would say we can't speak to our historic returns.
Got it.
In the last 2 years, we've averaged over a 20% return each year for our investors.
Okay.
And we are confident that we are going to perform well this year as well.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm in the insurance industry, and so we have to say it's a historical look back. So I totally understand the language. But, you know, we have some just hard, I'm a double math major also. So we got some hard number folks out there that are just listening.
Okay.
But as he said, this is a historical return, but 20% on an investment is a great thing. If you, you know, be honest, 10%, 6%, that's a great thing when you're talking about what people are getting on a lot of the money that they have. So
just a humble brag is if you look at some other real estate focused funds, you know, you're usually looking around an 8% return, 6 to 8% return, especially from the lending side. But it's very secure and, you know, we outperform for the industry.
Okay. So when you say passive, how does that become passive? Am I paid something annually? Quarterly, how does that work?
So we pay out quarterly.
Okay.
The way it works is we'll pay out a 6% annualized dividend. So you get 1.5% dividend check every 90 days.
Okay.
And then that extra money that's created is reinvested for you. Okay. And then you have a choice of whether you want to check at the end of the year for that additional income, mm-hmm. or if you want to reinvest the money and roll it forward so that your balance is back to your, you know, 10,000 or 25,000, whichever example we're using. But we basically pay out the money we make every 90 days. And again, we're not locking the money up for long. There's only a 1-year lockup period. So if you ever want to exit, it's not a long-term commitment.
So I invest today. Is there like another entry point in like I have to wait a month or a quarter? I see it happening. How often can I invest in the fund?
So I'll answer that one. So one of the good things that's happened to us is as we've spread the word about what we do, we've achieved more inflow of business than we can actually lend to. So we have another division inside of our capital, which is brokering, where we work with third-party companies that were loans that we can't necessarily fund on our own.
Okay.
But what that means to our new investors is we have business every week that we're deploying elsewhere. And as we raise more capital, we would absorb more of that. So if we get a check on Monday, there's a very good chance that it's going to work within, you know, 5 to 7 business days. Mm-hmm. So as an investor, it's a wide open opportunity and you can expect your capital going to work pretty quickly.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was going to say generally when you have with a lot of other funds or a lot of investments, usually there's like it's called a J curve. I don't want to get too technical, but there's this low before you start making a return on your investment. What Aiden's speaking to is that we don't have a J curve. You're essentially, when the check gets put into the fund, it's essentially just put to work immediately. So, you know, like he said, within 5 business days, you're gonna start making money.
Got it. And then, like you said, that's paid out quarterly. So,
yes.
Okay, I hear a question. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. This is Colette Williams.
Yes.
Do you have any reasons that preclude you from participating in Texas?
So to answer directly, no. However, when we use some of the guardrails that we created for our company, we would want to research and understand the community in which we would lend. But as a state or as a municipality, there's no reason not to be there.
And let me clarify that question, Colette. Are you speaking from the investor side, wishing to invest with them, or on the borrower side, wishing to?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
And does that
because
answer
Texas,
the price made in for both?
That for me, it does. Texas is very, very, very ripe for the picking. And it would behoove you to do some research, some looking, and some investigating in Texas, because Texas is a very rich, rich state. And I love what I hear. And I'm going to sell all my cans and bottles so that I can participate and work with all of you.
Well, that's great to hear.
Same thing, Colette. Cans and bottles that I've been saving and giving away.
That's right. That's right. I love what I hear, and I'm flabbergasted that there are tons of real estate agents. Why aren't they doing this? And it can be done. It can be done. It can be done. And I think it's simply a mindset. And I think it's fear. And I'm so glad to know that you young men are doing this. I'm sure you're probably not my age. However, I don't think that there's an age requirement on this. But this is what needs to be done, so that we can have communities. We don't have any Black communities any longer. We need to bring them back. I love the Seneca Village. And as I said, I'm going to investigate you further, because when I get through selling my cans and bottles and plastic, I'm doing this.
We love to hear it.
It's funny, Colette. It was so intriguing to me when I was introduced to these gentlemen through a client of mine and a dear friend of mine. And, you know, a lot of folks nowadays, my whole goal of this show is to have a lot more conversation around money. You know, we know the typical ways of doing things. I teach it all the time. You have bank savings, you have straight in the market investment savings, you have real estate savings, you have insurance savings. Those are the vehicles to choose from. And even within each of those vehicles, there's so much more. And so when I was introduced to this information, I said the same thing. First of all, I have to figure out a way we're going to create some of the capital to be able to invest in it, because I truly believe, like I said at the top of the show, we have to have multiple streams of income now, and even more so, multiple streams of income in retirement. Nobody can retire on one, two, or three income streams anymore. My generation.
No, not anymore.
Maybe yours, Colette, but not mine.
It doesn't work. You're right. It doesn't work. And the multiple streams of income is the absolute and only answer. And the mindset has to change. Because I'm at the age where everybody in my circle is retiring or wanting to. And a lot of folks can't because they don't have the multiple streams of income. And if they're locked in California, they need at least 30 streams of income to live in California and to live a quality life. So California is a very difficult place to live.
Yes.
So this is something that has to be, I would think, it needs to be widespread. And I don't think that these guys are the kind of, no, it's all mine. There's enough to go around.
Yes.
There's enough to go around and enough for everybody to be happy. And now that I'm listening to you all, what I see with no money down, buying a home, flipping, no money down, use other people's money, I like what you're talking about. I really like what you're talking about a great deal. And now I understand it a little bit more. This is very basic, but boy, oh boy, am I on board.
Yes, I love it. It's funny. My first understanding of real estate investing or anything around that realm of earning income was when someone introduced me to the book, 1 Minute Millionaire. And I love this book. Still read it to this day. Recommend it to everyone. I get no pay from them. I just love the book, because what I learned within that book was how to utilize real estate to create that wealth as far as investing. And what most people think is you need a lot of money to be able to do that. I'm not saying zero money down works. Most mortgage people tell me that's not truly the case. However, this hard money loan conversation, finding the right properties to be able to do, compiling your money with other people, like all of those different tips and tricks that we don't pay attention to or we're not taught, they're truly, truly missing out in our world. And you guys having the ability to do, you know, two things. One, lend to those that aren't typically going to be able to get the funding. So if I want to go into the fix and flip world, I can use you guys from that angle, as well as on the investor side, and make money two different ways. But just creating the conversation around, you know, money, around how to, you know, create an extra stream of income. Let me ask you a question. Who's your typical client for the borrower side? Do you guys have those things set up? They go to, you know, how does that work?
So that is where we get a little excited and, you know, while we perk up in the morning.
I'm excited about the investment side, but okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, on the investment side or the borrower?
No,
the borrower.
On the borrower side.
Got it. Yep. So that is the answer. This is why we get up in the morning. So Brent and I, you know, candidly speaking, we felt we were doing okay, right? Mm-hmm. But there's this whole nother element of how do we impact and participate in creating more wealth in the community?
That's right.
And how can we watch and say we were a part of establishing generational wealth for our peers? Mm-hmm. And he understands finance very well. I understand real estate very well. And when we put, you know, the skills together and we say, hey, if we want to share, this is a way we can do that. And we can take what we've learned and pour it into other people. So in our pitch deck and some of the material that we have, we love to highlight two independent stories. One is a borrower that's in Florida that we've done 20 deals with already.
Wow.
They're trade builders. They're very smart. They know what they're doing. But in the process of working with us, we became a partner. And they not only figured out how to make more deals, make more money, but they started investing in their own people. And in the last quarter, they were able to buy one of their employees a home to renovate and then give them equity. Wow. And it was such a feel-good moment for us and for them because we got to see this happen. Wow. And then we have another borrower that's in Philly.
Wait, I'm sorry. We have to you gotta get some praises in here for a second for that. So because of the capital that you guys have created, you've been able to help borrowers create a chance to fix and flip 20 plus properties and help the people that they're flipping this stuff for to become an owner and really sit and build generational wealth. There's some people that will never own a home. So you guys' idea of starting this plan because you had a mission, that's amazing to hear.
I want to jump in real quick and just also mention, like, and just for the broader group, you know, it's not always, it's just about fixing and flipping, right? Because one of the things you want to, it's even with the loan business, it's always, you know, you're fixing and flipping, but that's not a plan on retiring, because then you always have to keep fixing and flipping.
Yep.
So what Aiden's talking to and part of our mission on that legacy and that wealth mm-hmm. is creating what we talked about earlier about passive income, mm-hmm. right? When those checks just start coming to you, right? So, you know, this is like Aiden mentioned, this is a trade builder. You know, we help them do their first fix and flip. We help them do many fix and flips, but we also help them buy their first investment property, right? You know,
that's the fix and hold.
Yes.
Fix and hold, that's right.
Fix and hold, and that gives you cash flow. That's the kind of thing that really goes from, you know, paying that month's check to making a plan for their children, right? You know, Aiden touched on this, and I feel almost ashamed back. We didn't highlight it before, but we really do look at our borrowers as partners.
Yes.
You know, we have conversations with them about 1031 exchanges and things like that and tax planning. Like, it's not just about giving me my check on the first of the month. We're investing in these people. They're investing in us. And it really is a partnership. So, you know, we definitely have our feel-good stories and we like to promote and talk about, but we absolutely look at all of our borrowers as if they're partners. The truth is we're trying to build a village.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I love that. Oh, this is so amazing. Aiden, you had another success story for us in Philly.
Yeah. So a borrower is actually a college classmate of ours. And in a former life, Brett and I used to be party promoters. And
look like party promoters, if not beyond.
And we knew this guy for 20 years, but, you know, it's the second act in life, right? So he's the type of person that was only doing one or two deals a year. Mm-hmm. And the missing link was better capital, more reliable capital in terms that were in his favor. Mm-hmm. And a really sad part of this business is, and reaching back to my own family story, there's been so much bad behavior in the lending industry from inception. And what I thought was always stories of the past, oh, this is what they did in the 40s or mm-hmm. the 30s. Mm-hmm. is what they're doing today still. Mm-hmm. And part of our solution is we can correct some of this, there's no better way to say it, but just completely just disregard for quality borrowers by using our own money. So we can step aside from the system's bad behavior and create our own system. So that when we paired with this college classmate and we gave him an opportunity to get quality capital, he went from one to two deals a year to four to six, and we're literally watching him succeed mm-hmm. and creating more wealth for himself and his daughter. I mean, he's very proud of this. He'll always tell us, this one's for my daughter.
Oh. Mm. It's to be able to, I mean, we can just be honest, it's a lot of unfairness in the world that we live in for our people, right? That's just what reality is, right? And I'm meeting so many people, more and more and more people whose mission is centered around evening the playing field and to tip the balance the other way, right? So to be able to have the ability with your own investment, right? That's huge to say. Like, when I decide to invest with someone, to know that you have skin in the game is very, very important. And I'm going to ask a numbers question. How much skin in the game do you have? But it's very, very big to me to decide when deciding who to invest with, to have people with the skin in the game that really are sharing the same mission of what we're doing around here. And there has to be a change in that wealth gap. There just has to be. It's bad. We're all taught to make money, but how we choose to save it, to accumulate it, to invest it, to share it, to leave those legacies behind, the generational worth buzzword has been around forever. But do we truly know how to create that? Do we truly know how to diversify a portfolio? Most people do not. And so just having the information introduced and, you know, continuing to put you guys on different platforms to have this conversation, it's very, very necessary. And I agree with Colette. There's opportunity everywhere, but I don't want your bandwidth to be stretched beyond your geniusness. So I'm okay with where it is right now. Trust me, especially if I'm going to be investing. But just knowing that there's an opportunity for people to create a whole new life for themselves, whether it's on the investor side with you guys or it's on the borrower, the client, you know, side. It's just, it's important to know that because there's a lot of people who never see themselves being able to own homes, that are never seeing themselves able to, you know, pass something down in legacy. I know last time we had a couple sessions ago, we had one of my partners, she's a real estate and mortgage broker owner. And she had just went to the National Association of Real Estate Brokers conference in San Antonio, Texas. And when the statistics came out, the net worth of African American people, 70% of it is tied up in equity that they cannot get access to because most people cannot refinance out of their loans to pull anything based on the financial situation. I said with clients all the time, very few of them will be able to afford their homes today that have been having it for all this amount of time. So having the ability to partner with someone like you and become that true partner so that they're able to create, you know, the new source of income to purchase that home, whether it's the fix and flip or the fix and hold. I just think that's an amazing thing. So if someone's interested, who your typical client you said would be, and then your typical investor would be what and who? Because they're going to reach out to you. I'm going to make sure that this is promoted well after today's 1 hour session together. So you're going to have the contact. So who is the typical person for both sides of that?
In the spirit of trading off, I'll let Brent answer this one.
Sure. So typical client is, you know, somebody who's got some real estate experience, but just needs, could scale their business if they had access to capital. We like people that are, you know, that are investing and doing products in their neighborhood. That's a big part of it. We do believe that, you know, real estate ultimately is a local business, a local industry. So, you know, we look for folks that are going to, that can sniff out really good deals in their backyard. And then we help provide them capital. We're talking about, we've done loans as low as $15,000. We've done loans as high as $500,000.
Okay.
It's really, we're really willing to look at any scenario. But I would think, you know, generally speaking, somebody who's doing, like I think Andy mentioned, 2 to 3 deals a year, we want to help them grow to 5 or 6. If you're doing 5 to 6, we want to help you get to 10 to 12 plus, right? And then if, you know, so that's our typical borrower.
Mm-hmm.
As far as our typical investor, this is where I know my lawyer is going to make sure I say, like, you know, it's a private placement. So we do, we are allowed to have non-accredited investors, but we do search for accredited investors,
mm-hmm.
Which essentially means that, you know, you have a net worth over, I think it's $1 million, Aiden, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Annual salary over 250,000 as an individual, yeah. 500,000 as a couple, or net worth over $1 million makes you an accredited investor.
So right. I need to marry somebody who makes more than that. Okay. Right. So the next week's show will be about, got it. Okay. But that's an accredited investor.
Right.
You're saying right. that you allow non-accredited investors
we do.
As well. But for a certain percentage, you got to keep that really listener certain
around amount. Private placement. We are allowed yes. up to a certain amount of non-accredited investors.
Okay.
But I think the private placement, and which almost unfortunate, is a lot of investment opportunities that are kept away from non-accredited investors
yes.
because of, you know, for lack of a better description, the government to put on guardrails to make sure that people aren't taken advantage of. So We are open to talk to anybody, but, you know, ultimately, I think part of what your conversation is going to be, you know, with your followers is what's the right investment for you.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, $25,000 is a meaningful check. It's a meaningful amount of money. Right. Is if that's going to make you very concentrated in one investment, maybe that's not the right way to go.
Absolutely.
Because you want to diversify.
So Say that again, Brent. That is an honorable statement. That's an honorable statement for someone who's looking for investors to still be very conscious that it is an investment, maybe a mitigated risk investment, but it's still an investment. It shouldn't be your last $25,000.
Exactly. Right? That's
very big to hear. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're absolutely right. I definitely want to talk to anybody who's interested in investing for sure. But, you know, that part of that conversation is, you know, where else are you invested? What are you looking for? How does this play into your portfolio?
I love it.
That's a conversation that, you know, I'm absolutely willing to have with anyone.
So you're going to reach out to these gentlemen at senvcap.com. Make sure you do. Get your questions answered. Whether you decide to do anything or not, you want to get your questions answered. I had a million questions when I was introduced to these gentlemen. And went through the process that I needed to feel comfortable what it was that I decided to do. Like you said, Brent, to be a piece of the portfolio. If anyone who does anything in the money world tells you that their investment is the only one, you should probably run. So understanding that it is a piece of the puzzle is very, very important. And I think, Colette, you have another question. You want to jump in there?
I have not another question. I have tons of questions.
I know you do.
I have tons of questions, and I'm raising my hand.
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I want to be one of the ones that they pick to be a part of this and learn from this. Okay. And I ain't kidding. I'm selling my cans and bottles right now. So, okay. And I'm not kidding. There's just so much. And I love real estate. I've done it several times. But you all bring a different kind of flavor and acumen to it. And it makes all the sense in the world. It makes all the sense in the world.
Yes.
And it's time to get this going. And you have to be recognized as one of the big ones.
Yes. I love it.
And I don't hear one skip, which is, I'm very difficult to impress.
Yes.
But I'm so impressed.
Yes, she is.
I feel intimidated now.
No, don't. I'm
old school versus new school. And she's very, very intrigued by this conversation. So
Yes, I am.
And so, it's really important to be able to stretch across the mediums because there is such a learned behavior and a closed-mindedness to not just the older generation, but to people who don't know these things. Mm-hmm. So taking the time to get informed. I love you, gentlemen. You're not the only ones to do this. This thing has been around. Direct lending, private lending has been around, but now it's being brought to a
position. But we're not doing it.
Yes. So you have to be able to, you know, find out, get your foot in the door. I don't know anybody's pocketbook, but $10,000, $25,000, you pull it with your folks and, you know, just be able to start creating something outside of the typical, no disrespect to the 401ks and the 403bs and the TSPs. I work with them all day long. Yes, I love my cash value life insurance. Let me throw that out there. But making sure that you understand how some of these things are different. A one-year investment and get paid quarterly, that's a good thing. What can you do with that return within that 1 year that can help you to do the next thing? Whether it's, you know, put it back in it, make it work more. But this is, in my opinion, a wonderful opportunity at a short-term investment, at a way to create a passive income. And it doesn't take a ton to start for you to get in, feel comfortable about it, and decide, you know, what else. But it is not a conversation that's taught. I taught math every single level for 13 years. So for us to be kept out of the conversation when it comes to creating this type of income is very, very important. So just learning how it works, reach out to these gentlemen, make sure that you can, you know, do the research that you need. They've both been doing this for, you know, umpteen years, have the experience. And in my experience with you gentlemen and in the time that we've known each other, it's important to be able to ask questions, not feel intimidated by the questions that are being asked. And if it's not right for you, it's not right for you. It may not be the right time for you. But you have to be able to sit and realize that you need, and I'll keep saying it, multiple streams of current income and multiple streams of retirement income. So I'll ask the two of you gentlemen before we get ready to close down. You had another question, Coletti? Okay. No. Before we get ready to close down, I'd like you gentlemen to say some closing words for us, some things that you want to leave with us, and I'll definitely be in touch, and hopefully many of the listeners will as well. So definitely, you two gentlemen, take it away.
Sure. I'll say, first off, thank you for the opportunity. You know, Aiden mentioned that before. Thank you for everybody who's listening. I hope that, you know, what we talked about is just viewed as another way of investing in real estate,
yes.
Maybe a little bit more unorthodox or off the beaten path, but
yes.
Equally as attractive. And what we like about it is it creates passive opportunity for you.
Yes.
So, you know, again, thanks for the opportunity. I hope if anybody, you got everyone listening, reaches out, ask questions. I think that, you know, knowledge is power, and there's no shortage. We're always going to be willing to, you know, share what we know and have a conversation. So, you know, again, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put a twist to Brent, because I always do.
Okay.
Knowledge is not the power. It's the application of the knowledge,
yes,
that is powerful.
Yes.
So everything you learn today needs to be applied, whether it's the passive part, whether mm-hmm. it's the investment part, whether it's the fix and flip part, whether it's the diversification part, you mm-hmm. have to apply what these gentlemen are telling you. If you choose to do it with them in their investment or their borrower side, go for it. But you got to apply the information. It's not to just be in your head and make it bigger. We have to start doing the things in a comfortable position, but start doing the things and asking the questions so you feel comfortable to make some changes in our situations. And Aiden, I'll throw it to you to close us out.
Oh, thank you. I echo Brent's comments. We really appreciate the invitation. It's very nice to meet everybody and share a little bit about what we do. And I just want to close with just our tagline, which is our village, your legacy. And what that means to us is we are collecting and creating a village, and we wanted to end up becoming somebody else's, you know, path to legacy. And that legacy word can mean many things, but for us, we're really harping in on access to capital, access to the ability to create generational wealth,
mm-hmm.
and our ability to interact with like-minded people.
That's
and
right.
Just create a bigger ecosystem for what we do. So
yeah.
On that note, we really appreciate the invitation, and I'm looking forward to interacting and talking to some of you some more.
I love it. And you guys, this has been another show of Smart Money Moves with Helena, with our awesome guests, Aiden Sorrell and Brent Boyce of Seneca Village Capital. Reach out to them, SENVCAP.com. You guys have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much,
Lee. You have been listening to the Intentional Talk Radio Network to Helena J. Connolly with her special guests, Aiden Sorrell and Brent Boyce. And they've got wonderful information that you need. And we always say, we bring you news and views that you can use. And this is where we talk to you, for you, with you, and about you. And it is all good. So stay tuned. We've got another show. This is Hump Day. We've got In the Mix conversations with Colette and Corliss. And Brent Boyce and Aiden Sorrell, they're going to be back, because I'm going to bring them back to In the Mix. The information is absolutely amazing, and they've got to come back so that we can learn more about what they're doing. This is great. This is absolutely fantastic. And as I said, I don't mind saying I am real hard to impress, but I am impressed with these young brothers. I'm very impressed. So you all come on back, stick and stay, don't go away. This has been Smart Money Moves right here on ITRNRadio.com. You can get this and all of our broadcasts on all of your favorite and your major podcast platforms. Stick and stay, don't go away. This is ITRNRadio.com. Have a good afternoon, all. It's time for In the Mix, conversations with Colette and Corliss. All right.